If I were to say Ole Miss and Mississippi State are pretty much the same thing, how would a lot of people in Mississippi respond? Probably about the same as if I went over to Alabama and said, Alabama and Auburn, they're pretty much the same thing. Or if I went up to Pittsburgh and said, Pitt and West Virginia are about the same. You know, kind of like you go up north and you ask for a Coke. It's a lot different than when you order a Coke here in the South. Or if you come down to the South and ask for a pop. Things of that nature. Names mean something. Names have a purpose. I used to, with a couple of friends of mine, if I was in the room with them, I could watch their blood boil by uttering, and it wasn't just me, there was a couple of others that would do this, by saying, there's really no difference between Star Wars and Star Trek. And you could deceive both of them, because one was a huge Star Wars fan, the other was a huge Star Trek fan, and they would just instantly go into how one is better than the other, and they're nothing whatsoever the same. And you can find that with people who are proud of the country that they are a part of. And you could say something along the lines of, America is really no different than all the other countries. There's nothing special about being an American. And while we might would find that to be true with a number of individuals who live in this country and claim to be members of this country but think that we're just the worst place in the world, those who understand the place that America holds in history and truly appreciate the freedoms that we have, well, that's a slight to put us off with just everybody else. Names matter. Names define. Names are worth fighting for. Because names identify us. I used to would fight in just a heartbeat if I was called Jeff's brother. Oh, you're just Jeff's little brother. That was the worst thing in the world that you could call me as a young man. Don't try it now. I've gotten over it. But as a young man, that bothered me because names identify us. And sometimes they identify us in ways that we'd rather not be identified. The question this evening is, how important is the name of Christ to you? Does His name stand out in your mind? Is it something that defines who you are, what kind of a person you are? Does it remind you of who you belong to? Is His name something that is truly worth fighting for? And don't misunderstand me, I'm not talking about fighting a physical battle, because the Lord was very clear in saying that the battles that are set before us is not a physical battle with physical weapons, but a spiritual battle against spiritual forces. But is it worth fighting for? Is His name special to you? Do you use the name of God in such a way that would indicate that it matters to you? Looking at social media, popular music, popular television, all these things, we can see that the name of God and even the name of Christ obviously means very little to them, because you hear the phrase, oh my God, thrown around flippantly and used in every single way. And even in text messaging, social media, you have this OMG, which everybody knows what it is. And I get angry when someone says it to me, because when I see OMG, my mind says it. And then I'm like, don't do that to me again. The name Jesus Christ is thrown around as an exclamation, as an expression of anger or disbelief. It's treated in a trivial fashion. But as we noted in our scripture reading, there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles told the Sanhedrin court, it says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Christ is and should be the cornerstone of our identity. Without Christ, we are truly nothing. Jesus Christ makes us different from the world and different from denominational churches that take other names that separate them truly from being a follower of Christ. And so this evening, I want us to take just a few moments and look at the point of a name. And one of the things that we want to look at is that we are to wear the name of Christ. We wear His name because we are His people. In Acts chapter 11, there in verse 26, we read that the Christians in Antioch were meeting, and it says, and when he had found him, that is, Barnabas had gone up and gotten Saul and brought him back to Antioch for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. No matter how you look at it, that term, Christian, signified who they were, what their purpose was. Christian literally means one who is of Christ. This separated them from the Jews. It separated them from the Gentiles. They weren't following after the paganistic deities that were surrounding them. And they weren't a Jew in that they were following the Jewish teachings and law. They were followers of Christ. To say that they were of Christ is contrast to being of someone else. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there the Apostle Paul, in writing about the divisions that were taking place there in Corinth, he says in verse 12, "Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Paul says, has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? The question is, how can we justify ourselves to wear anything other than the name of Christ? Christians, followers of Christ. Can I think that Christ has purchased me with His blood and that I belong to Him when I wear another name, such as Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, Mormon? All of these signify that I belong to something separate from the Lord. This is kind of my problem with us defining individuals as African American or Irish American or Latin American. You're an American. If you want to identify with something else, then go somewhere else and identify with that. And that's why there's no such thing as a Baptist Christian or a Lutheran Christian or a Church of Christ Christian. There's no such thing as a Church of Christer. You're a Christian. You belong to the body of Christ, or you don't belong at all. Even Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr. that we're as familiar with, but Martin Luther back in the old days, in the days of the Reformation, when these names, some of these names were just beginning to be thrown around, he had this to say. He said, "I ask that men make no reference to my name and call themselves not Lutherans, but Christians." What is Luther? My doctrine, I am sure, is not mine, nor have I been crucified for anyone. St. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3, would not allow Christians to call themselves Pauline or Petrine, but Christian. How then should I, poor foul carcass that I am, come to have men give to the children of Christ a name derived from my worthless name? No, no, my dear friends. Let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians after Him whose doctrine we have. Unfortunately, they wouldn't listen. And the name Lutheran remains as those who follow after the doctrines of those who were claiming to follow Luther. He wanted them to follow Christ. He wanted them to give their fealty to Christ and to show that fealty to their Lord by taking His name, Christ, Christian, not showing fealty to Luther. So we wear the name of Christ as Christians, and we also wear the name of Christ as a church. When we look at the term Church of Christ, what does that mean? It means a group of Christians who belong to Christ. It's not a title, Church of Christ. It's a description. And it should always be kept in the forefront of our minds as a description. When people ask us what we are religiously, we should never use the phrase, "Well, I'm a Church of Christ."
Because that puts us in the exact same category as Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, all these others. We are Christians. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I go to a congregation out in Petal. The Church of Christ, the church that belongs to the Lord out in Petal. The Apostle Paul references multiple congregations of the church in saying that they all belong to Christ in Romans 16 and verse 16 when he said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." He didn't say all the churches greet you because there were different churches, not different denominations as we look at them today, but there were different churches. Each synagogue would have been a church. Each temple to the various gods that were around them would have been a church, a group of individuals called out for a purpose. And he says, all the churches that belong to Christ, all the congregations that belong to Christ, all of them greet you. And that's the idea we need to keep behind. Keep in mind when we're speaking of these things and try to get people to understand that we're not a part of some religious organization that has headquarters here upon this earth and that follows certain guidelines, that we are a group of Christians that meet in this local area and we give all, we belong to Christ. And that's what Paul writes of in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 23 and 24, where he talks about Christ is head of the church and the church is subject to Christ. Any church that doesn't exist to be the church of Jesus Christ is inferior. If you claim anything else, follow any other teaching, any other man, any other thing other than just simply submitting to Jesus Christ, well, it's inferior. And so we wear the name of Christ as individuals. We use the name Christian, which denotes exactly what we are. We belong to Christ. And then the same thing congregationally, as a local church, as a local congregation, we use the term Church of Christ to signify that we are a congregation of people that belong to the Lord. But we also do all in the name of Christ. You see, when we say that we belong to the Lord, that means that everything that we do is by His authority. This is what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. He says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Note a couple of words there. Do. It's more than just merely attending the worship service of the Lord's church or wearing His name. That's not enough. We do everything we do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Those who do, those who carry out the will of God, those who follow after the doctrines that have been presented. James writes of this in James chapter 1. There in verse 22, he says, "But be you doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it," there's that doing, "abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." And so we do, we act, we carry out certain things that the Lord requires of us. We keep His law, we abide by His commandments because we belong to Him. And we do all that the Lord has said. There is no part of our life that should be left untouched by our service to the Lord. This includes our morality, our behavior, our worship, our thoughts, our speech. Everything is to be surrendered to God, to Christ. Peter concluded his sermon on the day of Pentecost by declaring that God had appointed this Christ that they had crucified, both Lord and Christ. Not only is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the one that they have been waiting, the Jews have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years, but he says he is Lord. He is also our Lord. The term Lord comes from the Greek word kurios, which means it has the meaning of ownership.
And we don't understand that in the world that we live in. We've separated ourselves from human ownership. We talk about slavery here in the U.S., but it was nothing new. You go back to the days of the kings in Europe, and they owned everything, everyone. They owned all the land and all the people. To be a serf meant that you were owned by the Lord. And that's what we're looking at here. This term Lord denotes ownership. And to do things by His name meant that you had the authority of the Lord to carry out this work. Think of it, if you would, in the book of Revelation. We've noted that there were two different groups of people who had received a seal or a mark. There was 144,000 that had received the seal of God on their forehead. They were marked as those that were God's people. He knew those that were His. And then we noted recently in Revelation 13 where there were those who received the mark of the beast. They were those that belonged to the serpent, the dragon, the beast of the sea, and the beast of the earth. Who is our Lord? We are to act according to the authority of the one that owns us, to the one that is our Lord. And so whatever we do in word or deed, we do everything by the authority or by the name of Jesus Christ. By our name, we're telling the world who owns us, who leads us, who has absolute rulership, mastery, and authority over our lives. We need to keep that in mind, that it's not what Tim Henderson wants, it's not what anyone else wants, it's what the Lord desires. If I'm going to be a Christian, I need to be willing to submit. If I'm going to use the name of Christ in describing who I belong to, I need to be willing to submit to all that He has taught and try to get others to understand that this is why I do this, not because this is what I think is best, but because this is what my Lord has taught me. The last thing I want to talk about this evening, and this is what we find there in the verse, there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. We are saved by the name of Christ. The apostles are very clear. There's no other name. Salvation in no other. Every person who is going to be in heaven will be there because of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me." If saying Jesus is the only way to heaven is narrow-minded, then let's be narrow-minded. Because that's exactly what the Scriptures say. And we need to understand that truth is narrow-minded. 2 + 2 equals what? 4. Always has, and it always will. There's no way that you can change that. Now, you can try to make people feel better and go, "Well, yeah, 5 is close." And we'll give you an okay answer on that. Not necessarily the truth, but we'll try to make you feel better. There's no partial answers when it comes to truth. It's absolute. And the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation is the truth that the world needs to understand. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16 that he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, to be saved by Christ, I've got to obey Him. In Hebrews chapter 5, there in verse 9, we read, "Having been made perfect, He," that is Christ, "became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation." I can't just say, "I believe." I've got to obey. To truly receive the salvation that comes through the name of Christ, I can't just go about pronouncing, "You're saved by Jesus Christ." That doesn't work. Jesus was very clear in saying, "He who believes and does, and is baptized, will be saved. Those who do my commandments are those who truly love me." There's something I've got to
to do. James writes of this in James 2 and verse 24, and talking about how that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Note, he doesn't say that we're justified by works and not by faith, because faith plays a part in our justification, and we can't be justified by works alone. These two working together, our faith in God, our faith in the power of salvation by the name of Christ, and our willingness to do that which God has given us to do, to obey, that is what brings about our salvation. But we can't find that salvation in anyone else. And trying to find salvation in any other name is a ridiculous exercise in futility. Jesus has given specific instruction on what I need to do to be saved. Remember when Jesus was talking to with Nicodemus, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." How are we born of the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is what provided us with the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what we need to do in the water. There's nothing special about it. It's just tap water. The same thing comes out of your faucet. But it's that humble obedience to what God has given us. For whatever reason, it can seem senseless in the eyes of man. God, Christ, said water plays an important part in our salvation. But the important thing is that we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Peter and the other apostles on the day of Pentecost, when the Jews cried out, "Hey, what do we need to do? We recognize that we've put to death the Savior. How do we correct this?" And Peter, he said, You repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The question for you is, what name do you wear? Not what name do you claim. There's a difference. You can claim to be a Christian and yet not wear the name of Christ, because the Lord marks those that are truly His, those who are obedient to His will, those who have truly subjected themselves to His will. If you're wearing any name other than Christ, what value eternally is that name? What has the owner of that name ever done for you? As Paul says, "I wasn't crucified for you. What good is it wearing my name? It'll get you nowhere. That and $1.50 will get you a cup of coffee." What name do you wear? And if you are a Christian and a member of His church, the church that belongs to Christ, the question for you is, are you living up to that name? That's what we need to be focused on. That's what we need to be thinking about once we've obeyed the gospel, is making sure that we are living up to the name that we claim to have as the all in our life. And that's the thing. Christ must be everything in our life.